Let's get started, shall we? When I was in the Army, our motto was be all that you can be. Now, and I remember believing, wow, under their leadership, I'm going to learn how to achieve my maximum potential. I'm going to be all that I can be. And within my 8 years of Army service, I was taught many great skills. I had some really cool adventures, and I had a ton of fond memories that I could share with you, but I won't right now. But I don't believe that I was molded by the Army to be all that I could be. See, that promise proved a little too difficult for the Army to produce in my case, and in just about every other soldier who has ever enlisted. And eventually, they even changed their motto. Their motto now is an army of one. And it's this motto that we're going to take and we're going to tweak it a little bit tonight and make it our own. The army we will learn about tonight is God's army, and more specifically, the Israelite army, about 40 years after their deliverance out of Egypt. Moses is gone, and Israel is now led by Moses' protege, Joshua. Now, the one in our Army of One slogan, as you noticed, that's written with a capital O-N-E, meaning God is the one, the eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful general of the universe. Our passage tonight will be Joshua 6, 1 through 20, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. The scripture will also be displayed on the big screens. Now, within this passage, we'll learn how to be all that we can be in this army of one. This passage chronicles the Israelites taking the city of Jericho. But in order for you to truly appreciate the gravity of this situation, I feel it's important that I give you the mission specs. You see, Joshua and the Israelite army, they're engaged in siege warfare on target Jericho. Now, a siege is a military strategy of waiting out your opponent. Essentially, the attacker forces the defender to bottle up. It's like locking yourself in your own home. Sieges lasted until the defender's supplies ran out, until the defenders gave up, or until the defenders died. And historically speaking, sieges took a very long time. And the city, Jericho, it was no easy target either. You see, it was a fortification. Now, this means that it was strengthened against attacks, and it was equipped with defensive military works. The city had two great walls with towers encircling the entire city. And to increase its defenses, it was built on top of a hill. And one last piece of intel for us to consider is the civilian status. You see, the citizens of Jericho were well prepared for a siege. There was a spring which provided an ample water supply for the citizens within the city. And according to Joshua 3:15, this siege took place toward the end of the harvest season. Jericho would have had plenty of food stored before the Israelite army even arrived. Now, to be honest, if I were the general, and someone asked me if taking Jericho was a good mission idea, I have no doubt that I would have said no. Let's find an easier target city to take. To me, Jericho was too well prepared for any army to undertake a siege campaign in order to capture it. But to paraphrase Matthew 19:26, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So let's read the passage. Now, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men, and do this for 6 days. Have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, and everyone straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have the seven priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the army, "Advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests, carrying the seven trumpets, went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in and they took the city. So what steps can a modern-day soldier of God, you and I, take to be all that we can be in this army of one? How can we move from "this looks too tough to accomplish" to miraculous victory? Well, first, we need to actively seek God's will. In this passage, God spoke directly to the prophet Joshua and was very clear what he expected the Israelites to do. Now, contrary to what some people may think, God is still speaking clearly to us today. God gives us clear orders in the Bible. The Bible is God's will revealed, literally. If you want to know what your mission objective is for raising children, God tells us in his word. If you want to receive insight on how to act at work, God tells us clearly in his word. So by reading the Bible, we can know God's will for us. In addition to his word, God speaks to us and leads us into his will through fellowship with other believers. From walking in the Garden of Eden with Adam to instilling the Holy Spirit in every believer in Christ, our God is a God of fellowship. Matthew 18:20 states, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." And God often gets his message through to us through the words and actions of others. For an example of this, let's talk about a terrific movie called Fireproof. Now, in this movie, Caleb, a captain in a local fire company, and his wife, Catherine, are on the verge of divorce. And we learn quickly that this is primarily Caleb's fault. Now, God speaks to Caleb through the words and actions of others. First, God speaks through Caleb's friend and co-worker, Michael. Michael stresses the unbreakable bond that Caleb promised to Catherine when they wed. Michael also reveals to Caleb that he has felt the devastation that divorce can bring, and he reveals to Caleb that his first marriage ended horribly. God also speaks to Caleb through Caleb's father, John. It is John who challenges Caleb to try the love dare, a 40-day challenge to improve a marriage. Now, with each challenge, Caleb learns to appreciate Catherine more. He comes to terms with his own faults in their marriage, and Caleb realizes his need for God in his life and in his marriage. Now, ultimately, it is through the counsel of Michael and John, the insight gained from committing to the love dare, and Caleb's eventual submission to God that the marriage is saved. One last quality regarding fellowship. Fellowship can strengthen our resolve to live out God's will for us and endure the trials of this world. Meeting here on Saturday nights, meeting together in the small groups on Wednesday evenings, going to Christian conferences and workshops, they can all recharge our spiritual batteries and strengthen our resolve to live out our faith. Another way we can seek God's will is through prayer. Prayer is a powerful and crucial way for us to seek God's will for us. Prayer is an act of obedience and worship. It is a vehicle for the confession of sins and is a connection directly to God's will and his voice. That is, if we listen for it. Job wrote, "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it." Soldiers, we can receive marching orders from God loud and clear if we look in the right places. The next lesson we'll glean from this battle plan of Jericho is to trust in God's sovereignty. Now, to be sovereign is to be an independent power. It means to have supreme authority. And the Israelites in this passage of Scripture, they got this completely right. They wholeheartedly believed in God's sovereignty. Now, they witnessed firsthand numerous miracles that God performed to protect and sustain them over the last 40 years. And now, even though they're facing what looks like an impenetrable fortress, and God gives them a strategy that is unconventional or bizarre, nowhere is it recorded that a single Israelite questioned or doubted if it would work. Within the first two lines of this passage is a promise from God himself that the city was already theirs. Joshua 6:2, we read that the Lord said, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." The battle was over before it ever even began. The Israelites just had to trust that God could do what he said. Isaiah 55:11 states, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Ours is a sovereign God, and the Bible is full of examples of his supreme authority and power. Now, we have seen in our Bible studies here on Saturday night that God can make axe heads float because he is sovereign over nature. We have seen in our Bible studies here on Saturday night that God can resurrect the dead because he is sovereign over both life and death. And we have seen in our Bible studies here on Saturday night that God knows what the end is from the beginning because he is sovereign over time. Soldiers, God's sovereignty should give us a confidence to trust him when things look bleak and when he asks us to do the impossible. I see Westbridge Community Church as proof of God's sovereignty. This church was started with very little in the way of finances or equipment, but God, in his sovereign power, has blessed the faith, love, and passion that this church was started with, and he has continued to bless it for over 12 years. When financial issues arose, God provided. When we needed sound equipment, God provided. And when we needed a new place to hold church, which has happened several times, God provided. I have seen God systematically answer prayers and fulfill the needs of this church too many times to list. I wholeheartedly believe nothing can hamper or derail God's plan for us. Proverbs 3:5-6 reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." And just like the Israelites in the passage, we can stake our lives and our futures on God's promises, knowing he is bigger than any circumstance we may meet. All right, so finally, soldiers, to be all that we can be, we must faithfully execute our part. You see, Joshua and the Israelites did everything that God told them to do in this strategy. They did not quit on the fourth day. They didn't quit on the fifth day, and they didn't quit on the sixth day. In faith, they executed their part on all 7 days. And when they had completed what they had to do, God kept his promise. The walls tumbled down and Jericho fell. Psalm 37:28 reads, "For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones." And Proverbs 3:12 reads, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity." Throughout the Bible, there are examples of ordinary people taking God's promises to heart and faithfully executing their part. The stories of David, Daniel, Moses, and Esther, just to mention a few. And in every case, God was faithful to produce on his promises. Malachi 3:6, God promises, "I, the Lord, do not change." So why should we think our God the same God capable of all the miracles listed in the Bible and more would not come through for us in whatever should come our way? Is God asking you or me to do something or to stop doing something? If God has made his will clear to us and we trust his sovereignty, then we must execute our parts and the blessings of God will follow. His promises are more valuable than money. His promises are more valuable than position. His promises are more valuable than an addiction and so much more valuable than our pride. This is the key to going from this is too hard to accomplish to miraculous victory. We must execute our part. Now, this particular passage that Drew had given me resonates well with me, and he knew that. I really like reading about military conquests and tactics, things of that sort. But nowhere else can you pull such valuable life lessons from a battle plan than in the Bible. Throughout their travels, Joshua and the Israelite army learned a lot of great skills. They had some amazing memories, and they lived through some unbelievable adventures. They achieved their maximum potential. But more importantly, they found life to the full. So, soldiers, if we actively seek God's will, we trust in God's sovereignty, and we faithfully execute our part, we too can learn how to be all that we can be in this army of one. Thank you. Have a safe ride home, and we'll see you next week.